find some value out of it, or at least enjoy it in any way.
Yeah, I bet so. Optimus, you seem to be back online. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, dude, I can hear you perfectly.
All right, awesome. Okay, well, guys, you, yeah, if you mind, just take on the lead. I will probably be hanging out here, just, you know, listening. And if you guys need something, I will jump in.
All right, cool, dude. All right, thanks. All right, Nick, I'm going to start it.
Okay.
All right, so what's up, world? I am Optimus Fields at My Living Truth, and we're at block height 651,179, and the current Bitcoin price is 10,574, and we are Bitcoin Kindergarten, and we're here to do a presentation on finding Bitcoin Zen, or how holding hard money brings mental clarity in our current digital panopticon. So I'll pass it over to my co-host, Nick, and have him talk a little bit about Bitcoin Kindergarten, and we'll start the presentation.
Hey, what's up, world? Nick here, or Nick Can't Mine from Twitter. Really happy to be here, really proud to be here. Bitcoin Kindergarten, we're a live show every Wednesday night. So the theme of our show is we do a presentation for about an hour or so, and that's like, we call it our class, and we have on guests, or we make our own presentations, and we really just try and educate people in the simplest things. We have minted a good amount of new Bitcoiners. We love having pre-coiners on, or new coiners on, and we'll just answer all their questions live on stream. It's like kind of like a radio show type thing. Kind of like the mix of a radio show and like a live show. Like, you can come in, join the Discord, hang out with us, chat with us. It's a super interactive podcast. So follow at BTC Kindergarten on Twitter for more info. And after our normal class session, we do something called Teacher's Lounge, where we just sit around and bullshit through stuff, and we just talk about, you know, current events and stuff that's happening. So if that interests you, follow us on Twitter. And yeah, today we have Finding Bitcoin Zen, How Holding Hard Money Brings Mental Clarity. So without further ado, we'll go on to the first slide, and Optimus, take it away.
Awesome. So we're very aware that most of the people and the most of the presentations here today are very technical, and they're giving you a lot of solid information on how to fight, you know, digital totality, how to become a sovereign individual in this information age. And so we're coming with more of an economic or praxeological, maybe a little bit philosophical point of view on why we believe Bitcoin is not only one of the main tools in finding your own personal sovereignty, but maybe the best tool. And so to start off, we just want to get a few terms together so that we have a certain understanding. And as you can see from the slide, our first slide is, what is Zen? So we're talking about finding Bitcoin Zen. So we're going to explain what Zen is for the beginning, so we can kind of get an idea of where the term come from. So I took this from lexico.com, which is like an offshoot of Oxford Dictionary. And so the idea of Zen comes from Zen Buddhism, which was introduced to Japan in the 12th century and has had, you know, profound cultural influence. But that's, you know, kind of how we believe Bitcoin to be. But this next sentence is more of, you know, the idea of where we get Bitcoin Zen from. So the aim of Zen is to achieve sudden enlightenment or Satori through meditation in a seated posture. You can see our meme over on the bottom right corner. And it's usually under the guidance of a teacher, and often using paradoxical statements or koans to transcend rational thought. And so if you've dabbled into the Bitcoin space at all, you've come to understand that, you know, you learn mainly by deciphering memes. You know, Bitcoin memes have a big, big place in our space. And when you first get into them, they seem highly paradoxical. You are probably sitting there as a skeptic, like, man, these guys are crazy. What are they talking about? You know, like Bitcoin or Orange Coin good, like number go up, Bitcoin fixes this. We have all these different memes and we'll touch on them a lot. And so we've come to the conclusion that, as you can see under it, Zen in an informal meaning as an adjective means finding peace or a peaceful and calmness in your life. And so, as you can see in Japanese, it literally means meditation or quiet, or in Chinese, it's quietude. And so we've found in our own life that when you fall down the rabbit hole, a certain aspect of your perspective, of your mental paradigm starts to shift, and you start to get this very relaxed feeling in life, considering how crazy everything is right now. And so we've come, not only just Nick and I, but with a bunch of friends on Twitter, have come up with the idea of Bitcoin Zen. So we'll move on to the next slide. And Nick, do you want to take it or should I just continue going?
I think someone's voice just got cut off.
Yeah, can you hear me, Paradigm? Cause
yeah, I can.
All right, so I think Nick's off.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Okay, I'm not sure what happened, but
all right.
Did you hear anything I said?
Nah.
No. Every single time this kind of thing happens, just please take a moment, and if needed, just restart your Jitsi. But if possible, just do it one in a time, at a time.
Okay. Yeah, just restart on this slide, Nick, and we'll just try not to unmute ourselves. That might be the issue.
Okay. So what is Bitcoin Zen? This continues off our previous slide. Bitcoin Zen is simply a state of being, an understanding that Bitcoin is the solution to all of our current issues, encompassed by the meme, Bitcoin fixes this. And to survive and thrive during this transition, an individual must accumulate as much Bitcoin or capital as possible and must hodl these Bitcoins in the face of FUD, price dips, social engineering attacks, and frankly, despite themselves, to personal sovereignty in this new age. And to achieve this optimal state of being is to ascend into Bitcoin's end, or simply peak human form. You want to touch on that more, Optimist?
Yeah, sure. So as I was saying on the last slide, that once you start going down the rabbit hole, there's something that happens to your brain where, as we put at the very bottom of this slide, it's like peak human form. You drop a lot of your anxieties in the current situation. And you just start to enjoy your life. You simplify your life and you just stack sats and acquire as much Bitcoin. And then you mold your life around Bitcoin as true north. And so you start shaving away everything that, I guess for lack of better words, doesn't matter. And you start to mold your life as best as you can. And that starts around acquiring as much capital and hedging yourself against the current panopticon that we have going. So you can go to the next slide. And so this is just a continuation. So Bitcoin Zen, as we're putting it, is just the understanding that Bitcoin is the best savings technology and thus by extension, the best foundation to building personal sovereignty, or in other words, having peace of mind in uncertain times. So that's as clear and succinct that we can get Bitcoin Zen, and the rest of this presentation will explain how to get to Bitcoin Zen and what it might do to your perspective. You want to add something on this, Nick?
No, I think you said it perfectly. I think we'll just head on over to the next slide. So this is one of the ways to achieve Bitcoin Zen, is just to stay humble and stack sets. It's a pretty famous meme made by Matt O'Dell, who I'm sure everyone knows is a co-host on Tales from the Crypt. And our first dash here says weekly, monthly, and DCA plans. So one of the easiest ways to get to Bitcoin Zen is knowing when and how to buy can be really stressful. You know, people always feel like, oh, I need to wait for a cheaper price, or like, oh, I waited too long and now the price is too high, or like, oh, I just bought and it dumped, so now, you know, I bought at the wrong time. One of the ways to achieve Bitcoin Zen, just set up either daily, weekly, or monthly DCA plans. I recommend daily and weekly going at the same time on multiple different platforms, such as like Cash App, River Financial, Swan Bitcoin. But do whatever you can, you know, on a personal level. I know not everyone can do that. You know, some people may only be able to do like daily or weekly on like one thing, but it takes the stress out of your life. You won't be checking the price as much because you know, you're just buying anyways. So that leads into my next point, is don't check the price multiple times a day. Checking the price multiple times a day will definitely stress you out, unless we're in a bull market. But still, if you're checking the price multiple times a day, there's a lot better things you can be doing with your time. Honestly, DCA and not checking the price so many times a day, like check maybe 1 to 2 times a day, if that. This will help you slowly build wealth with actual good money that no one else can devalue. You're using DCA daily or weekly or monthly to accumulate as much wealth that no one else can fuck with. Like, no one can devalue it, no one can hyperinflate it, and that's like a good asset that you need to be accumulating. And at the bottom, I said not your keys, your coins. One of the things that gives me the most peace of mind is knowing I'm the only person in the entire world who has access to my money, and that no one else can steal or take or tamper with my money. So that gives me such good peace of mind, and I sleep really good every night knowing that. So we'll head on to the next slide.
Here, wait, hold on. I want to add a few things, Nick. I know we're going worldwide right now. So we are definitely coming from an American-centric point of view. So in your local country or wherever you are in the world, you may not be able to use these Bitcoin services that we mention. So there's definitely a few around the world that are solid Bitcoin companies, in particular like Amber, that comes to mind. I know there's a few more, but I'm kind of blanking on the other non-American services. But definitely either ask a local Bitcoiner, or you know, you could get on Twitter or something and try to find what are the best services. And then on your other points of you know, you might get confused with these acronyms like DCA. And by DCA, we only mean it's technically like an investing term of dollar cost averaging. And that's still getting into the weeds. The only way you really got to think about it is you're saving money and you're saving your time into the future. So however you'd like to think about it, just consider, you know, saving some of your hard earned cash into Bitcoin in regular intervals consistently. So I kind of joke around with my friends that it's just the Bitcoin ABCs, always buy constantly. So set it up however you want to, buy daily, buy weekly, buy bi-weekly, buy monthly, whatever works for your income, and just save as much capital in Bitcoin that can't be devalued. And like Nick said, don't check the price. I personally never check the price unless I'm acquiring Bitcoins. And so we have these little memes over here, or, you know, if you want to call them coins, they're probably the same things. And it's a number go up, orange coin good, from my friend Bitcoin, Bitcoin, hodl for glory, and the latest meme, run the numbers. So soon enough, you'll come to understand what these memes mean. And if you're newer to the space, then right now they may just kind of be like words that don't have much meaning. But to Nick and I, and to BTC Paradigm, he definitely understands the depths in the, what those three-letter sayings mean. But all right, Nick, you can go to the next one. All right, so as you can tell, I mean, if you haven't been, well, I think we went past the slide, Nick, but it's okay. It's neither here nor there. Yeah. So as you can tell, the listener, the people, you know, awake and conscious in the world right now, we're living in very uncertain times. You know, right now, currently, we're in COVID lockdowns. We have this meme over here of the NPC guy going, "Wear your mask. Mask is good. Government is good." So if you're a listener of this presentation right now, if you're, you know, part of this conference right now, then from my perspective, you're very much aware of what's going on. And personally, I would believe that we're philosophically and ideologically aligned, that we're, you know, what's happening right now is a stretch of the powers that be. And so these times are very uncertain, whether it's just the lockdown or the surveillance states cracking down on us. And as you see during the slide right here, we got a picture of Hong Kong. So I'm pretty sure that you're aware of what happened in Hong Kong and how China's cracking down on their freedoms and whatnot. But furthermore, I think as a world population, all governments are cracking down with state surveillance. They're trying to expand the surveillance state. You know, they're trying to label and chart everything that we do on the internet. And it's becoming very hard in modern day to not be a digital native person, to not be on the internet. You almost have to become like an Amish person or just completely off the grid to not touch these internet services, because the whole world is becoming interconnected. And then to add on that uncertainty, the surveillance state, digital totality, the digital panopticon, we have money printer going burr. So as you can see on the bottom left, we got the meme printer go burr. And that just means that central banks all around the world are inflating their money to obscene amounts. Like we said, we're coming from an American-centric point of view. So we in America have printed trillions of dollars this past month, and trillions is an obscene amount of money. And to, you know, to watch our fellow citizens not even bat an eye when they're printing trillions of dollars, it's pretty disheartening, because like Nick and I, as being what we consider, you know, monetary economics or economists, we are very, very focused on the money. We, you know, we believe fix the money, fix the world. And so we think that that's an egregious offense on all of the peoples around the world, because the dollar is currently the world reserve currency. So what happens in American money affects everywhere else in the world. And so it's definitely not just an American problem. And then furthermore, we have, you know, the uncertainty of what social media is doing to our brains and what it's doing to the social fabric of society. We are becoming more interconnected digitally, but also it's alienating us from, you know, meat space, from interacting with people in real life. And this is all happening in real time. So we are still a part of the greatest experiment that is currently going on, and that's what social media will do to the fabric of our society. And I mean, for instance, Nick and I have met over Twitter. We've only met once in real life, and this guy is one of my best friends. I talk to him probably more than I talk to my friends in real life. And so, you know, digitally native peoples like Nick and I are experience a totally new world that no other human in the history of man has experienced, and we take it for granted and it's completely normal for us. Yet we don't fully understand what this is going to do to our society. So things are pretty crazy and uncertain, but as Nick and I are here to explain to you, we believe that Bitcoin is the solution to this surveillance state, to this current scenario that we're in. And so we're here to spread the sound money gospel. And mm-hmm. you can either add or go to the next slide, because it's a continuation.
So I just want to add a few things. And one of the things is, during this time, I feel like if you don't own Bitcoin and you don't have this mental clarity of a Bitcoin Zen, your anxiety must be through the roof. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there with depression, you know, with the COVID lockdowns, they can't go see some family, they can't go see their friends, they're literally locked in their room alone all day, you know, and then to add to that, their government's devaluing their money like crazy. They're getting spied on constantly, even though I feel like to the normal person that may not care too much, but it is a huge problem. And then also going into social media, while you said there are benefits, like you and me were best friends and we met off Twitter, but there's also a lot of negative effects to social media. And I feel like Bitcoin really allows you to kind of take a step back from all four of the bad things up here and just take a step back. It allows you to breathe and relax and, you know you have a bright future ahead of you. So I'll move on to the next slide. And then this is just a continuation of the last slide, talking about government lockdowns, social unrest, inflation of the money supply, surveillance overreach and expansion, and environmental waste. I personally don't have too much to comment on this. Do you, Optimus?
No, just essentially what we said earlier, you know, Bitcoin fixes all this. And the farther you go down into the rabbit hole, the more apparent this becomes. And yeah, so as of now, I guess don't trust, verify.
We'll move on to the next slide. Bitcoin's the solution. We've been saying it all a presentation so far, and we both strongly believe it. Knowledge is power. Having knowledge in this time of social unrest, it's really important because, again, it gives you the mental clarity to make the correct decisions. There's a lot of people who are probably making very poor decisions during this time because of all the mental stress that's going on. They can't see or think clearly. And one thing that I saw was interesting was like there, you know, it was like something about some of like the biggest businesses and biggest brands were made during the hardest times, like mainly like economic recessions and stuff like that. So it's like, if you have the knowledge of previous stuff, like how do I use this bad situation and turn it into a great situation? So knowledge is definitely power. Do you want to add something on that?
Yeah, just essentially having a certain grasp of economic literacy in today's world is 100% the best superpower that you can have, because the majority of people right now don't fully understand economics. They may be, you know, falling down the populist route. They may believe that they just deserve a free lunch. But having the knowledge to wade through the waters and the powers that be in our current social situation is legitimate power. And we'll touch on it in a little bit. So, you know, Bitcoin is information. Bitcoin is knowledge. Bitcoin is power. You can go. All right. So here we have a quick little rundown on a simplified form of what stages of Bitcoin Zen are. So Bitcoin Zen is just a gradual evolution of human behavior. Economics is simply human action in, you know, and money is just human action in a medium. And so the stages of Bitcoin Zen doesn't happen overnight. You know, you don't wake up one day and you are anxiety free and you understand Bitcoin to be the best money. It happens block by block. And it's a slow, gradual evolution. It's starting to understand that the system will continue beyond you. And as long as blocks are coming in, you know that your money is safe and sound. Excuse me. And so the first stage that you usually are is a Bitcoin skeptic. You probably doubt Bitcoin's fundamentals. You may think that it's just stupid internet nerd money. You may think it's just for criminals. You may have all these preconceptions of what Bitcoin is. And furthermore, you are probably busy and you have no time to sit and study Bitcoin for hours or thousands of hours or even 20 minutes. And so there's a lot of hurdles to get over to becoming a Bitcoiner, to finding Bitcoin Zen, but you definitely always start out as a skeptic. You need to touch Bitcoin a few times before you even want to jump down the rabbit hole. But you're all starting as a skeptic. And then you are a gradual Bitcoin buyer. You know, you are off zero. You may occasionally buy Bitcoin, maybe every other week, maybe a couple times a month, maybe, you know, a couple times every other couple of months. But you own a little bit of Bitcoin. You see that there's something there and you're falling down into the rabbit hole. And this person may or may not shitcoin because they don't fully have the understanding of money yet. But they just see Bitcoin as a way to improve their cash holdings and their investments. And then you become and have achieved Bitcoin Zen, a hard money hoarder or an all-out obsession to hoard or hodl as much Bitcoin as possible. And as we jokingly put, this is optimal human functioning. This is peak performance. This is the stage you want to be on to be the best human you can be. And that is an anxiety-free, hard money hoarder, or as we lovingly call, a Bitcoin hodler.
So I just wanted to add a few things. Is to get to this peak performance stage of Bitcoin Zen, you got to go through the whole journey of getting to the stage, and everyone's journey is a bit different. You know, most people do go, most people start off as a Bitcoin skeptic. I know I was a Bitcoin skeptic. The first day I heard of Bitcoin, I called it a scam and I didn't know a thing about it. And over time, as I researched it, I bought Bitcoin and then I started to shitcoin. And then I shitcoined for a while, for about a year. And after shitcoining, I actually went down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, got rid of all my shitcoins, went Bitcoin only. And that's when I really started to learn, and I started to read and listen to podcasts, and I actually started to step towards this peak performance. And it took a while of learning, but after learning, I reached this peak performance of Bitcoin Zen. And I look back on the journey of getting here, and I wouldn't change a thing. You know, the journey is everything.
Preach the hero's journey.
Yes, sir.
All right, go to the meme page next. All right, so here we just, you know, we're Bitcoiners, so we're obviously going to meme some stuff. And so I'm sure if you've been on the internet, you're aware of the Galaxy Brain meme. And so on the right, you have just, I guess, a essentially a dead human, nothing going on in the brain, and they just think Bitcoin's stupid. That's the Bitcoin skeptic. And then you have in the middle, you have some, you know, there's something going on in the brain. They're starting to think, they're starting to wake up, and you know, they're a Bitcoiner. They're still holding shit coins, whether that's the dollar or, you know, even gold or cryptocurrency shit coins. And then you reach peak performance. You reach quote unquote enlightenment, if we may use that term a little loosely. And that's when you become a Bitcoin maximalist, a hard money hoarder, and you have reached Bitcoin Zen. And as I jokingly put under the Bitcoin maximalist, you've reached Satori, you know, enlightenment. You know, is it only fitting that it's got sats in it, you know, Satoshis? And so, yo, you can't make this stuff up. And then on the left side, we have another meme, the IQ bell curve. And so The progression kind of goes that you can be a low IQ, for lack of better terms, a Bitcoin holder, and you don't have to look too deep into Bitcoin, and you just believe that, you know, one day at one point in time, Bitcoin's going to reach 250K. And then there's the masses, if I can use that word, that, you know, are the skeptics, and they think that we're the dumb ones because we believe Bitcoin is going to the moon. And then you have another galaxy brain meme where it's the smart ones, it's the enlightened, it's the Bitcoin maximalists, it's the finding Bitcoin Zen, where you understand that Bitcoin is going to the moon.
One thing I wanted to add is I feel this chart personally, because I remember when I first got into Bitcoin and I started learning about it, and I heard people on Twitter say, oh, we're going to go to, you know, 100K, 200K, 300K, a million, etc. I was like, you know, I'm on board for that. You know, I can get down with that. So I would always say that. But in the back of my mind, I knew I never believed it. I couldn't see it clearly. And then I went through this gradual process. And now I'm at the stage where I'm all the way on the right where the big brain is. And when I say stuff like, oh, Bitcoin's going to hit 250K, I can actually, you know, say it with my chest, because I actually believe it. And I've done the research to back up why I believe it. I'm not just, you know, saying stuff on Twitter that everyone else is saying. So I definitely think when you get to the stage of Bitcoin maximalism, the peak performance stage, you're not just saying the same stuff in, you know, the Bitcoin echo chamber on Twitter. It's like you're saying stuff you actually believe, and you'll stand up for yourself when you say it. Preach. So we can head on to the next slide. So first, you're a Bitcoin skeptic. You're a default Keynesian. You know, you grow up in this high trash velocity economy. Inflation is good, blah, blah, blah. You're pretty much like brainwashed from a young age into being a Keynesian. And you've grown up your entire life with Keynesian economics. You know, you weren't taught this stuff in school. At least in the United States, they don't teach you this stuff in school. I remember elementary school, I didn't know anything. Middle school, didn't know anything. In high school, they required you to take one economics class, and it wasn't even economics. All what we did was like play some computer game. It reminds me of The Sims, if you know what that game is, where you control your character. And all what we did was literally just have our character like live in an apartment and get a job and stuff. It was pretty stupid. But yeah, going down the list, I didn't understand money before getting into Bitcoin. Most people don't, because then again, you're not taught it. Consumer versus saver. I was a huge consumer. I didn't save much money at all. I used to work a lot when I was in high school before I got into Bitcoin. And I've been working since I was in college, and I used to be a huge consumer until I found Bitcoin, and my time preference lowered immensely, immensely. And yeah, we have I can't speak right now. Risk adverse, maybe tech literate, maybe overly technical, government trusting. I used to just trust whatever the government said, because I always assumed they're, you know, big brother government. They're doing what's in the best interest of me. After studying Bitcoin and studying the history of governments and seeing who bad actors are, you learn that governments are always the bad actors, and they do stuff for their own benefit at your expense. Bad branding, you know, I've heard it all. Bitcoin's for criminals, you know. Bitcoin money launders, Bitcoin's this, Bitcoin's that. And while, yeah, criminals have used Bitcoin, you learn that criminals don't want to use Bitcoin because you can trace it back pretty easily. They much rather would prefer the US dollar because you can't really trace that back. And yeah, a lot of the critics who brand Bitcoin badly really over-exaggerate stuff or just lie about stuff. So once you get over that hurdle, it's like you're gold. People's belief have overcome to grok Bitcoin is the best money. And I think Optimus would be great to touch on that right now.
Yeah, and so the idea on this this slide is just that there's so many things that someone has to overcome. Someone has to, you know, to see through. They have to essentially change their mind on almost their whole entire worldview until they overcome and grok the idea that Bitcoin is the best money. And so another idea is usually, you know, like Bitcoin is a Ponzi scheme. And that's like the main thing that I hear most people say. And so they don't want to throw away their hard-earned money into a Ponzi scheme. But if you understand anything about money, you understand that fiat money is the biggest Ponzi scheme. And so we, you know, we became Bitcoiners once you understand those truths and you get over that hump of being a skeptic. So you can go to the next slide. And so on this meme, you will see some ideas of why we believe, you know, Bitcoin is the solution. Bitcoin is truth. Bitcoin is money. Bitcoin is freedom. Bitcoin is empowerment. And Bitcoin is a tool. And so as you are a skeptic, you start to understand or learn these different memes and your thinking starts to gradually change. And so the idea of Bitcoin is truth is, if you are familiar with cryptocurrency, excuse me, Bitcoin is underlined by a blockchain. And essentially what it is just information, and it's truthful information because there is proof of work or energy expended to facilitate this information. And so in a world of fake news and uncertainty and social media, the only objective truth that we can all agree on is Bitcoin blockchain. According to my node, it's telling me what's going on. And so Bitcoin is truth. Bitcoin is a foundation for us to build our society. And our society, if you understand anything, is, you know, society built on lies. It's built on fiat. It's built on debt. It's built on, you know, a fragile ground. And so once you find out these truths, you start to realize that Bitcoin is money, and not only money, it's the best money. Because as I said, a blockchain is essentially just a ledger. It's just information showing and proving who owns what. And that's all money is. And then furthermore, because we are able to hold our money, hold our wealth in the best money that we have, in the best value exchange, best medium of exchange that we have, Bitcoin is freedom. Because no longer is your time being taken from you. And with that freedom comes empowerment. And so Bitcoin is just a tool. Bitcoin is one of the best tools, if not the best tool, to taking back our personal sovereignty and furthermore, taking back our time in our life. You want to add something to that, Nick, or we can keep moving?
We can keep moving. I think you said it perfectly. So reality is the best teacher. Some will get wrecked in this transition. I know when I was a shitcoiner, I didn't put that much into crypto, but I do know I lost most of what I had. I held some coins down from the peak of 2017 to the bottom of 2018, 2019. And that was a huge wake-up call, because it's like, wow, you really can't hodl shitcoins. You can only hodl the best coin, and that's Bitcoin. In economic real law, it cannot avoid consequences of actions, cannot insulate from economics. If you make bad choices, you'll get punished from it, similar to as if you make good choices, you'll benefit from it. You can't run, you can't hide from this. And yeah, it affects everyone. Do you want to add some more to this?
I'll just add, just read over the little tip box that we have. So Bitcoin is one of a kind. It's the best money we have. It's the hardest money we have. And like Nick said, you can't hodl shit coins of any kind. And so the whole point is, if you don't hold the best money, in the long run, your lunch is going to get eaten. And so it's upon you to make the best decisions and hold the best money that you can find. And as we are, you know, trying to elucidate, it's Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin is the best money we have. And so you will positively find consequences that improve your life versus a detriment to your life. We can move on to the next one, I think. And so here is the point. Once you start understanding these truths, these evident truths about Bitcoin, you start understanding the memes or the coins or however you want to put it, you gradually, occasionally buy some Bitcoin. Like we said earlier, you may buy, you're off zero, you may buy a little bit, you may see number go up, and, you know, as we put it, NGU technology. So you start to see and experience the consequences of soft money. And as I was talking about earlier, you, if you are familiar with what's going on in politics and economics, you have saw that you may buy, you're off zero, you may buy a little bit, you may see number go up. And, you know, as we put it, NGU technology. So you start to see and experience the consequences of soft money. And as I was talking about earlier, you, if you are familiar with what's going on in politics and economics, you have saw that they're printing trillions of dollars. And so personally, as the viewer, you're going to see the experiences of and the consequences of soft money into the future via inflation in the prices of the goods that you enjoy and that you like. And then furthermore, this is the stage where this person stops becoming a consumer and is turned into a saver. And furthermore, becomes a producer, because if you are able to save your capital, then when you have enough capital, you have a good idea, you can start to produce goods or, you know, turn them into good investments. And so you have turned officially from a consumer, or not even a full consumer, but you are not even a full saver. Sorry, you've start to save some of your capital. And so you stop living paycheck to paycheck. And this person is also risk averse, because no one likes losing their money, but they've started to understand that Bitcoin is their best bet, and holding dollars or holding your local currency, your local fiat, your local paper money is the worst thing you can be doing for yourself. And so this person is just trying to survive. This person understands that the world is becoming digital. I'm not sure what they're doing around the world, but in America specifically, there's a lot of talk of going a cashless society. And so everything is on, you know, Apple Pay or just digital cards or just apps, you know. So I know around the world that a lot of money transfer is just going through digital apps, and all those are going through trusted third parties. And so there's a middleman telling you what you can't buy and what you can buy. And Bitcoin fixes this. Because as most people have seen around the world, government trust is breaking. People are worried. People are protesting. People are rioting. And they don't have a meaningful solution. They are just angry. And like I said, the dollar is inflating. Money printer is going burr. They're printing trillions. They're inflating our money supply. They're stealing your wealth and your time. And like I said, populism's rising. You know, there's a lot of talk specifically in America about socialism and communism, and that is an attack on property and wealth. And Nick and I are ardent free market capitalists. We believe that our time and our labor is ours, and no one should be stealing that from us. And so once you go down this rabbit hole and you start understanding all these things, and you find Bitcoin, and you realize what Bitcoin is as the most censorship resistance, the most easily transferable, the most easily transportable, the most liquid good that we have in society, and you all the other properties that make Bitcoin amazing, you start to become a hard money hoarder or a hodler, and you take your first steps to finding Bitcoin Zen.
I think beautifully said, dude. I don't have too much to add on that. I think you hit all the really good points. So we'll go to the next one. The fabric of society is broken and is taking its toll on our psyche. Find Bitcoin Zen and thrive. And when we mean by the fabric of society is broken, we're talking about all the stuff that's going on in the world right now. You know, social media is consuming our minds, and I think some people, it's completely frying their brains. There's rioting going on, and with the rioting, there's uneducated and unaware. We think a lot of the people who are rioting are upset and they have a right to be upset, but we don't think they are rioting for the right reasons. And if they were more educated and aware of what was going on and really what they were actually mad at, that they would actually peaceful protests, not the rioter peaceful protests, but I mean like Martin Luther King type peaceful protests, and actually get somewhere. And they would be protesting, like, let's say the Federal Reserve or something else that is actually the cause of all their problems. There's a huge lack of personal responsibility. In today's times, no one wants to be responsible for anything. Everyone always just wants to put the blame on someone else. And typically what you see is the more personal responsibility someone takes, honestly, the better off they are. And you look at Bitcoiners, they take responsibility, personal responsibility for pretty much everything. This ties into the victim mindset. It's the victim mindset has completely consumed people, especially in America. It's pretty sad to see that, like, you know, you can't do anything without offending someone else, and it's completely ridiculous. And these people with victim mindsets never go far in life. They haven't accomplished anything. And yeah, you want to touch on that a little bit?
I think that was beautiful. I'll touch a little bit on what you said in the next slide.
Okay, perfect.
So, like Nick was just saying, we put out these memes. If you're familiar with Bitcoin Twitter, you've probably seen the memes. If you're not, I'll try to explain it and tie it into what Nick was just saying. So the meme is, hard times create strong men create good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. And so it's definitely subjective on what this timeline is that we are on, but it seems like we're towards the end of the cycle. It seems like we are in the, you know, either the transition in this or at the very end of it. So we may be at the good times create weak men aspect, or we're at the weak men create hard times aspect, because like Nick says, we have a lot of victimization in our society, a lot of woe is me stories. People are trying to take the easy route. No one wants personal responsibility. So we've been living in one of the most prosperous times of human history. So we can, you know, I guess subjectively and maybe loosely say that as a whole, we are, you know, weak men creating hard times. And that's kind of what it seems like. You know, we're inflating our money supply. We seem to be taking away a lot of natural rights for, quote unquote, our safety. And this is creating hard times for everyone. But the majority of people don't have solutions. But we're here to tell you that Bitcoin is the solution. And once you get to this understanding, a certain amount of Bitcoin Zen flows over you and you cease to have anxiety in the world, and you start to enjoy your life and want to produce and want to create and own the future with everyone. And so you can either add something or keep it moving.
So yeah, I totally agree with you that I think we're the weak men creating the hard times. If you look at society today, there's a lot of weak men. A lot of guys acting feminine, a lot of girls acting masculine, and this is definitely creating hard times. And I think Bitcoin has the potential to educate the masses and change people, because, you know, you don't change Bitcoin, Bitcoin changes you. And I definitely think Bitcoin has the potential to usher in a Renaissance-like era, or even like an Industrial Revolution 2.0.
Bullish. Let's go.
So the problem, government money sucks. Fiat's thief. Fiat literally steals your time and value. If you haven't read Robert Breedlove's Masters and Slaves of Money, he goes super deep into this about how fiat is modern day slavery, and it literally steals not only your value, but your hours of working time as well. Central bankers are the biggest criminals of the last 100 years. You know, I like to think of central bankers as wolf in a sheepskin. You know, you go to your local bank, or, you know, you don't go to central bankers, but I hope you get what I'm trying to say is these people, they got this nice smile on their face. You know, they're in a nice tux all the time. They look at you, they smile, shake your hand, and they literally, they screw you over in every way possible. It's pure highway robbery what they're doing, printing money. And what's the solution? Bitcoin, plain and simple. Bitcoin fixes this problem. Only 21 million coins, censorship resistant, you know, limited in supply. You can send it literally to anywhere, to anyone in the world at any time. It's the perfect solution to the fiat problem. And I think it honestly impresses me so much how well Satoshi designed this from start.
I think you said it beautiful. Go to the next slide. All right. So as Nick just elucidated and touched on, we need a good money. The money that you have is stealing from you. And so a good money is scarce. It's transportable through space and time. It's divisible in small fractions. It's recognizable. It stores its value. And hopefully it's unconfiscatable. And the solution is Bitcoin. And so once you understand this stuff, you are able to relax and enjoy your life, and no one is stealing from you. And once you are stopping your wealth from being stolen, and you are able to build on the little that you do have, you know, you start to achieve a certain amount of optimism and hope into the future. And that's the ideology that we're calling Bitcoin Zen.
Yeah, it gives you that, you know, that extra bit of clarity. It's, you didn't know what money was before, and you learn what the characteristics of money are, and that Bitcoin has all these characteristics of money. And then you look at the money you're currently holding, whether it be US dollars, your other fiat currency, or shit coins, and you're like, wow, this doesn't have the properties of money, and that is stressful. It gives you anxiety. You switch it over to Bitcoin, and you get that Bitcoin Zen.
Beautiful.
So what is money? It's the most tradable good in society, i.e. saleability or most. It's a medium that's easily recognizable and stores its value through time and space. The hardest or soundest good in society, what we have today with US dollars, is it's constantly being printed. There's unlimited supply of it. It's not hard or sound at all. And you really need, if you want to build a good society, you need a good hard money as a base layer to build society on. And that's just facts. If you read, you know, how civilization performs on money throughout history, it's not perfect being on a unsound money. And time is money, like we were just saying. Money is proof of work. Money is proof of labor. You put in the work at work, earn the, you know, mine the fiat to earn Bitcoin, then you stack sats. Literally, you're proving your work by saving your time and energy in Bitcoin.
Yeah, and I just want to add that a simple way to think about money is just, money is a way to account for what everyone owns. It's a ledger that proves, you know, everyone owns a certain amount, and everyone has worked a certain amount to you know, gain the value that they have. And a good money leads to good incentives, and a bad money like what we currently have leads to ruined and bad incentives. And so with Bitcoin, or with a hard money, you're incentivized to work truthfully, to work smarter, and, you know, at times work harder. And with bad money, you're incentivized to lie, cheat, and steal. And so we're here to, you know, tell the masses that we believe a good money leads to a good life, and Bitcoin is that good money. And so, like I just touched on, the concept of hard money versus soft money. So hard money is just the money that isn't easily produced, or like we have right here, there's more stock than flow. So what that means is there's more money circulating than can be created. And historically, that has been gold. And now the best hard money is gold 2.0 or Bitcoin. And so if you have a choice to save your value in something, you want to be holding hard money, because the alternative is soft money, or a money that is easily produced, or a money that can easily flood the market. And historically, if you go into monetary economics, there's been a lot of examples of soft monies. And currently we're using fiat money or paper money or a government or a money decreed by a government, by an authority. But in the past, there's been soft money such as seashells, glass beads, salt, and all those currencies or those monies were the currency of use at the time until a new monetary technology came around and essentially flooded the market. And so, as we have touched on, you can't inflate Bitcoins. There's only ever going to be 21 million Bitcoins. And my node will make sure of that, because everyone has their own node. And if you try to change the rules on us, then you've created a shitcoin. And so Bitcoin is the hardest money that we currently have.
The hardest money always wins. You don't want to be holding soft money when there's hard money that you could be holding. So always go with the hard money, in my opinion. I mean, there may be some advantages to soft money, like being a good medium of exchange, but overall, if you're looking to store value and build wealth, definitely hard money.
Yeah, and then if you wanna read on it, you know, by all means, go read the Bitcoin Standard by Safety Namos. He does a great job in teaching this and spreading that.
Highly recommend that book. So, becoming a Bitcoin maximalist is understanding the historical nature of money and its influence on society in our current place in monetary history. So reading, for example, the Bitcoin Standard, you learn how money affects society, and you research and you find out that society thrives and civilization thrives on sound money. It's that base layer that I was talking about earlier that really allows society to build up and accumulate capital. You know, like today in the United States, we have crony capitalism. We don't have actual capitalism, because the debt in the United States is absolutely insane. And how is this debt happening? It's happening because we're able to print unlimited money. And then like, I know for like student loans, for example, the government guarantees those loans to the school. So schools can charge whatever price they want, knowing that students are going to take out the debt and they will have to pay it 100%. It's unbankruptible. So there's a huge debt problem. And then people say, oh, well, how is this capitalism? It's not capitalism. That's, I like to call it like debitism. It's kind of a hard word to say, but replace capital with debt, because you can't have capitalism when no one in the country has capital. And Bitcoin allows you to get educated on why you shouldn't make those money traps. And even if you do, you can accumulate your wealth in Bitcoin and really start to learn and grow your stash and accumulate as much as you can. And over time, this will fix the crony capitalism issue we have, where government intervention intervenes with economy and messes everything up. Like I said earlier, I think it has the potential to usher in a new renaissance or an industrial revolution 2.0.
Beautiful. Yeah, I just want to add that historically speaking, paper money is the historically speaking, we never use paper money for too long in our human history. So usually we've been using other forms of money, and for the longest it's been gold, but now we have an improvement on gold, and that's why we're our Bitcoin maximalist, quote unquote. And so here we are with why maximalist HODL. And this starts to touch into finding Bitcoin Zen. So a maximalist will HODL until Bitcoin achieves a quintessential function that defines money. Basically, a universal medium of exchange to move economic value through time and space. So what that means is that you're able to store your wealth, store your labor, store your time through space and time, so that, you know, you don't get your wealth and your time stolen from you via inflation or other means of stealing your wealth like taxation. So in this process, Bitcoin will not only store its value or its purchasing power, but increase its value / purchasing power to achieve such a goal. And so that's where you start to find Bitcoin Zen, because you accumulate your sats, you realize that Bitcoin is the solution to our current situation. You start to realize the censorship resistant aspects of it, the inflation proof aspects of this. And so you simplify your life and you hoard your wealth in Bitcoin. And then a certain sense of zen or calmness or anxiety free perspective on the world starts coming over you. The more you start to stack your sats and you see number go up, you become hopeful, you become optimistic, and you HODL your Bitcoins through, you know, dips and through price rises, because you realize this is the best way to build your wealth. This is the best way to measure the value going on around the world. And, you know, if you're trying to build a house with different size rulers, your house is going to come out pretty janky. And so now we have one universal ruler of value going around into the world, and it's only a matter of time until the rest of the world gets on it. And so that's why we HODL Bitcoins. Money is freedom. And so the more Bitcoins, the more money you have, the more opportunity you'll have in life, and you can enjoy the life how you see fit on your terms, and no one can tell you otherwise.
Beautifully said. So, reaching Bitcoin Zen, we have three key things we're going to touch on. And the first one is HODL Bitcoin without someone messing with your money. You really own the coins and no one can devalue it for you. This is kind of like an overview page of what we were talking about earlier. When you HODL your Bitcoin, we like to say it's unfuckable money, because no one can fuck with your money. No one can devalue it. No one can mass print and hyperinflate your money. Because again, only 21 million coins, or roughly 21 million. And when you really own the coins, no one else can access your coins unless you literally give them your private key. So you can, you know, feel good knowing that you're the only person with access to your money. In the middle, just as we were saying before, hard money sets the foundation for people to go on and build a successful life. No more anxiety about an uncertain future. I know so many people that live this high time preference fiat lifestyle, and it really takes a toll on their mental health, and they can't see or think clearly because they constantly have money problems, and money problems leads into other life problems, and it can really screw over your life. But living in a Bitcoin Zen state, you know, that peak performance state, you're able to think clearly, you're able to make correct decisions and better decisions. It's going to better impact you in the short term and the near term. And lastly, protect your wealth and your health. This kind of ties into what I was saying, is you're protecting your wealth from getting mass printed and wrecked by hyperinflation, and you're protecting your mental health so you can see and think clearly, as well as I've seen a a pretty popular trend on Twitter where people get really inspired, and a lot of people in the Bitcoin community take care of their physical health as well. So it leads into all aspects of life, in my opinion. Bitcoin, hodling Bitcoin is good for more than just your finances. Is there anything you want to touch on there?
Just the last part of Bitcoin improving not only your wealth, but your health. I mean, let's be honest, guys. They want us to be weak. You know, they want us to make us feeble. They want to be able to control us better. And so something about holding hard money makes you want to improve on your health so that we can be as strong and live as long as we can and enjoy the fruits of our labor. And so no longer are we simply just fiat slaves. We can become masters of our future and masters of our personal universe. And so that's when you reach Bitcoin Zen. And, you know, this conversation that we've been having has been a little cosmic. So it might be a little out there for most people, but I know for a fact that a lot of our Bitcoin friends have achieved this state, whether they label it this way, and they live this I don't give a fuck attitude in their personal life, and they start to thrive, and they start to see the world through a different lens, and they stop becoming just abused by the state, and they seek personal freedom. And as we have on this next slide, it's a tweet from Nick that I love. This is a recent tweet he put out, but this is one of the first things he ever told me. So he says, I sleep so good at night knowing I own Bitcoin. And one of the biggest things Nick has ever said to me was in the very beginning of our friendship. He said, ever since I went Bitcoin only, I've slept like a baby. And I can concur on that same thing. I don't know when the transition occurred for me, but I know for a fact that before I became a Bitcoiner, before I understood Bitcoin maximalism, before I understood monetary economics and the monetary history of humanity, I would have laughed at all this, and I didn't even notice during the time of this transformation. But now I can look back and I have a whole hell of a lot less of anxiety about my future, my personal future, about the future of humanity at large, even though I see a lot of things that worry me going along with the majority of society. I am very hopeful and optimistic that Bitcoin will fix this. Bitcoin will find us our way out. And also with all the other privacy and surveillance fighting tools that we are creating at this current moment, I am very, very hopeful about the future that we will, you know, overcome this moment, this almost dystopian time in humanity, and we will usher in the Bitcoin Renaissance. It may not be in a decade, it may not be in two decades, but if we're lucky, not only lucky, but if we're persistent, our kids' kids will be living in the Bitcoin standard future, and they will look back at us today and wonder what the hell we were doing. And so to me, that is living Bitcoin Zen. It's realizing that we have the solution and being able to relax and be able to be persistent and tread along into the future, even though it seems rather hopeless for the majority of the population. We will prosper, and we will fight the state, and we will fight the digital panopticon, and we will come on top. And to me, that is Bitcoin Zen.
Preach. You couldn't, I couldn't have said it better. I really couldn't have said it better. So we're reaching the end of our presentation, because we know there's another presentation that's supposed to start in 3 minutes. But just real quick, Bitcoin is Zen. Bitcoin is the journey that you're on. Bitcoin is all of the above that we've been saying all night. It's when you reach this peak performance, your life changes. It is life. Bitcoin's life.
Beautiful. Yep. I hope you guys enjoyed this. If you want to chat with us, I know that right now a lot of people are on the other side of the pond, a lot of European listeners most likely. So we try to adjust our times a little bit for the European crowd. And so by all means, come join us on our Discord server. We're on Twitter as BTC Kindergarten. And this is Optimus Fields at My Living Truth. And my co-host over there is Nick at Nick Can't Mine. And we hope you enjoyed this. And we hope you enjoyed this conference at large. And so thank you, everyone, for having us show up. And hopefully you guys got some value from this and realize that we really are the change we want to see. If not you, then who?
Thanks for having us.
Yee! All right, Rafe. I'm not sure if you're passed out over there or if the neck